Hi everyone, welcome to this mobile device management session. I'm actually surprised how many people are interested in Microsoft MDM, so that's already good news. So a small introduction of myself. So my name is Nico Sienaert. I'm a lead infrastructure consultant for Getronix, which is actually a worldwide system integrator, but I'm based in Belgium. Are there any Belgians in the room? Oh, at least two, okay, yeah. So I do also some work for Microsoft. I'm linked to the System Center user group in Belgium. You can follow me on Twitter if you want, and I'm also an enterprise client management MVP. So actually, Wally was my MVP lead before. Unfortunately, he left Microsoft. And actually, based on that, the interaction that I had, let's say, since Microsoft introduced MDM 2 years ago, I bundled that experience in this presentation, let's say. So my experience out of proof of concepts, out of projects, out of interaction with the product team is actually resulting in this kind of presentation. So regarding objectives or agenda, like you want. So I'll give you an overview about the general capabilities and config. I will also give you some information about how Intune actually works under the hood. I will give you some roadmap, of course, only the stuff I can disclose. And as I mentioned, it's built on my experience, so quite some troubleshooting and notes from the field stuff. Looks good? Okay. Disclaimer. As is the System Center event, I will focus only on the integration with Config Manager. So I will not talk too much about Windows Intune standalone. All right? And then another important appointment to make. I have Super Trooper exclusive Windows Server headsets. So if a question pops up in my mind, I will ask. If you know the answer, just throw your hand in the air. I will point you out then. And if the answer is correct, you can pick up one of the headsets after the session. Who wants a headset like this? Okay, at least some people. Imagine that I want to give a present and nobody likes it. Okay. All right. A small marketing slide just for setting the scene here. It's all about mobility nowadays, but actually what is happening, your users are coming in with a lot of devices and your corporate data, your corporate applications are living on these devices. So you, as IT, need some tooling, need some technology to control that. So that's clear. Today, I will focus on the green part, so only mobile device management. Intune, nothing more, nothing less. Tomorrow, when I'll talk about unified device management, I will do all the rest. Then I will talk about everything except mobile device management. Okay, so if you talk about mobile device management, we talk about Windows Intune. And who is using Config Manager in this room here? Okay, 80%, 90%. Who has played with Windows Intune? Standalone, hybrid, whatever? 30, 40%. And who has it in production? So a lot of potential here. Okay, very good. So you have the choice. So Microsoft released Windows Intune, I believe, in April 2011, mainly PC management in the cloud. During the period of time, they added mobile device management to it. And then actually you have the choice, or you use Windows Intune standalone, or you create a connected to Config Manager, which is actually the world leading product regarding client and server management. Now with that connector, Microsoft is actually positioning in a very unique position on the market. You really have a single pane of glass experience to manage your client, your server, and your mobile devices in one console. Okay? That's very important, because if you look to competitors, you will end up with two or three consoles next to each other. So there they have already a big value. Now regarding supportability, you can see it there if you talk about mobile devices. You have Windows 8, Windows Phone, Windows RT, iOS, Android that is supported. BlackBerry is not in the list. Any BlackBerry users here? Okay. Typically what you see on the market. The BlackBerry customers which I talk to, they're all moving away. I don't know what your experience is, if there are any consultants in the room, but this is actually a big momentum for Microsoft to position their Windows Phone. So actually, BlackBerry will, I don't believe that it will come regarding supportability into Windows Intune. Now, as I mentioned, focus on the hybrid solution. Then we quickly need to talk about capabilities and features. So what do you have? So I have listed them here high level. So of course you can set some security policies, you can do a selective wipe, you can do push and pull of software. A very demanded features were deploying Wi-Fi profiles, VPN profiles, certificates. that's already there for today. And you have also support for the latest stuff like NOC support and iOS 7 support. Now, the people that are following the latest trends, you will say, hey, Nico, Intune is supporting iOS 8 from day one. That's actually correct. But what you will see when the product team will release new features, they will first release it into the cloud. This is actually linked to the cloud-first, mobile-first strategy that Microsoft now has. And then later on, it will appear in Config Manager. Okay? Now, if we talk about upcoming features, actually the first one is such a typically example. So remote lock and pin reset, actually it's already in Intune standalone as from April, I believe, but today, unfortunately, it's still not in Config Manager. So you see there is quite some room for improvement there. Today, the product team is not really making a statement, okay, we launch it in Intune, and you can expect it X weeks or X period of time in the product. That statement is not there. We talked about the product team and asked them to make it better. They are aware of that, and they will work on that. So today, they only commit each feature that is coming into Intune in the cloud, let's say, standalone, will come sooner or later in Config Manager, so in the hybrid solution. And actually, that sooner or later is not really a nice statement. That needs to be better. So they will work on that. Of course, it has also a technical reason. Config Manager needs to build on top of Intune, so there is a little bit more development work to do as well, of course. Okay, what else is coming? There is an app wrapper coming for iOS and Android. So if you want to create your own shell around your line of business applications to make sure how they need to interact with other applications or with operating system, so that is coming. Per app VPN for iOS is coming in Q4. What is that? So as soon as you launch an application on an iPad or an iPhone, automatically, actually, a tunnel will be created to your on-prem environment. This is completely invisible for the user, so completely certificate-based, so the user doesn't have to give in any credentials. This was also a feature that was requested quite often. Conditional access policies. What is that? Well, in the next release of Intune, you will be able to create a connector to Exchange or to Office 365, and based on that, you can do some conditional access. For instance, if your machine is not jailbreaked or it's not encrypted or your policies are not correctly applied, it might happen that Exchange will stop syncing his mails, for instance. So this kind of interaction with other products of Microsoft is also coming. So you can also turn it around. So this will actually be the user experience. So if you want to read your email on an iPad, then the first time you want to try to sync, Exchange is connected with Intune. He will know, okay, before you can read your email on this device, you need to enroll your device into the Windows Intune service. Managed mobile apps, also an interesting one. If you look into competitors, they will mostly work with containers. So what they will do, they will grab applications and corporate data into a container, and you as a user needs to log in separately into that container. Regarding user experience and user friendliness, that's not really an ideal scenario, let's say. So Microsoft has another vision in that sense, that they will put containerization intelligence directly into their product. And what is the most used product suite that they have? Microsoft Office. So what is that experience? I believe it's Miss Susan here in this demo, okay. So she wants to read her email on her iPad. That is not working because she needs to enroll first, so that's actually the conditional access. As soon as that, when that is done, she can, of course, receive emails with the Microsoft Office application inside. When she wants to save that attachment to an unmanaged application, so outside Office, for instance, for OneDrive in this example, that will not work. If she wants to save it to OneDrive in OneDrive for Business, that will work. Same if they start to copy-paste strings out of the documents. Same story there. For an unmanaged app, that will not work. For a managed app, that will work. If the device is lost, you can do a selective wipe. What is the experience there? Office will be removed completely, and also the related business documents regarding Office will be removed from the device. Protector browser management. Windows Intune will come with its own browser, which you typically can configure, for instance, that each URL that is coming via an email that needs to be opened in the protected browser of Microsoft. You can also do blacklisting and URL filtering. This is typically what also come in that kind of browser management. And then last but not least, one of the top features that was requested by the business is bulk device enrollment. So today, if you enroll a device, you do it per user. What actually company wants to do is I buy 100 devices, I want to pre-configure it, and I want to deliver it to my users. So bulk device is coming for Windows Phone and iOS. So iOS has a tool, the Apple Configurator, that will be supported now by Intune. Okay? Most of the features Q4. Yeah. Too fast. First question is coming. Now, I mentioned first the features will come into the cloud, but then at a certain period of time, they come to Config Manager. What new, let's say, feature has the product team introduced to make sure that you can embrace the Intune feature sooner or later in a hybrid solution? Anyone an idea? No one. No headset. Wally, you know? You want the headset? Okay. So actually, it's Intune extensions. So what is that? So the product team developed that to make sure once your tenant is upgraded in the data center, it's open for the new features. As soon that's happening, you will be able to get this to adopt these new features in your environment. So this is, again, a great example of how strong a cloud service is and actually how easy you can deploy it within your environment without doing massive upgrades or installations. Now, how are these extensions working, actually? So once they have upgraded your tenants, you receive a message that new extensions are available for you. If you want to enable it, you read the EULA, of course, and as from then, the console starts to install the extra add-ons. And then in the end, you might see that, for instance, some new notes are appearing in your Config Manager console. Okay? What is important that you realize, if you install the add-ons, you have to have local admin rights. I had a customer with a big help desk. They were not local admin, so we have to take that into account. And typically, how do you install this? In a site, you first start with your primary site, and then you install your Config Manager consoles. Okay? Also here, in my humble opinion, some room for improvement. You're actually completely depending on when someone is upgrading your tenant in the cloud. So there is no way to trigger an extension. For instance, there is now an extension under the way for Internet Explorer Enterprise Mode. Microsoft announced within a few weeks we start to release. But actually, if you're waiting for that feature, yeah, you're in a black hole there. So you don't know exactly when that will arrive in your environment. So we also discussed with the product team what can be done there. For instance, you might expect that you have a kind of trigger button or something like that. I'm not stating here that will come to make sure, but yeah, that might be something useful, for instance. When talking about extensions, you will also have the concept of patching extensions. Now, what is that? Well, it might happen that the product team is releasing a second extension, so with the same name, for instance, with some bug fixes or with new added features into that extension. And that actually will be the experience. So you have one enabled, and the other one is available. Now, what you need to do there, very simple. You just enable the available one, and Config Manager will remove the old one. So actually, this is the experience what you will have. Okay. Regarding monitoring or logging, there are quite some, typically for Config Manager, we have quite some logging available. You have also, for instance, interesting table in the SQL database that you can check, and two logs below. Or actually, the first one is monitoring the content copy from the SMS provider locally to the client machine. And the last one is typically logging the installation process of your extensions. Okay, enough talk. So let me quickly show you what a hybrid experience is within Config Manager. So I will just go through the console, and I will pick out the typically stuff which is linked to Intune. Let's first start with the administration node. Here I don't need, so cloud services. Here you see the Windows Intune subscription. So this is typically where you will configure and create your connection to the cloud. What you can do is you give some personalization to your to your self-service portal, so you can give it a color, you can give it a name, you can add some company information, you can add a company logo. Best you take a nice one and not so a stretched one like I did, but it's just for the sake of demo. And very important in this window is the Windows Intune collection. So what is that? That's a user collection. And in what actually each user that you put in this collection is allowed to enroll a device. Okay? More on that later on. Then you can see tap per tap that you need some specific configurations per platform. Also, I will discuss that more in detail, but this is, of course, very important. As you can see, Windows Phone requires a code signing certificate. IIS needs an APN certificate, so it differs a little bit from OS platform. These are the famous Windows extensions. You can see currently we have three, and the fourth one is coming up, so the only option you have there is enable-disable. If you look into the site configuration, important there is the Windows Intune connector role. So this is actually your communication, your pipe, where all the communication is going through from on-prem to the Intune cloud service. More details will follow when I talk about Intune under the hood. Also, typically, Config Manager works with the distribution point. So automatically for you, you will have a DP created, which is actually using Azure storage. And this is actually the experience what you can see. So it's managed.microsoft.com. Where your DP is located. Config Manager works with collections. I don't have to explain you that. So here you have the famous user collection. And then, of course, within devices, you can start, you have the default one, all mobile devices, but of course, you can also create your custom collections to make sure that you can group them. Hardware and software inventory, same experience as on a client. So if you open the Resource Explorer, you can see the typically information that you want. This info is in the database, so you can do reporting, you can do queries on this. So this is actually the experience of that. Okay, if you talk about settings, then we have to go to compliance settings. Who is using compliance settings today? Okay, quite a lot. Actually, that is one of the most underestimated features of Config Manager, if you ask me. But anyway, for compliance settings, you have to go also, you need also to use that for MDM. So how does it work? You create a Config Manager item. You give it a name. You choose mobile device. I'm suffering a bit with my resolution here. And then you can typically choose what kind of settings you want to enable. And for instance, iCloud might be an important topic these days. So this is, for instance, where you can disable that. A very important window in this wizard is platform applicability, because here in the end, the wizard will tell you, hey, you have selected some specific settings, and these will not work on that specific platform. This is always not a fault of Microsoft. You have to know that Windows Intune is working without an agent. So actually, we are using directly the APIs. So for some APIs, the vendor is not delivering the certain APIs that you need to manipulate certain settings. And so if you see here an unexpected list, let's say, that is not always in control of Microsoft. Now, if you want to do some other settings that you cannot find in the wizard for some reason, you have also something like OMADM. And I will talk about OMADM also later in the presentation. But actually, what is that? It's an open standard that all platforms understand. And actually, it's XML-based, where you can do some fancy stuff. I will show you that also during a demo. For instance, you can black and whitelist applications on a Windows phone, thanks to OMADM. Okay? But now you know already where it's located in the wizard. Company resource access policies. So again, very popular on the to-do list of the product team, so it's now there. Actually, this is a little bit different from the cloud first, mobile first. Deploying certificates, deploying VPN profiles is not available in Intune standalone. It will come, but you see there it differs a little bit from the release standard that Microsoft has. So you understand already sometimes it can be complex. Is this feature now available in Config Manager or not? So, but they are working on it. So this is typically where you deploy these profiles. More on that also during the session. And then software library. Here you can see very nicely again how they have done the integration. So actually in one wizard, you decide if you want to deploy a Windows Phone package, an iOS package, or an Android package. And as you can see also, you can create deep links to the stores. Important there is once you adopt that in your environment, you have to make the assumption that your users have a Google ID, a Microsoft ID, and an Apple ID, okay? Because that's how stores are working. And of course, the monitoring tab, and there you have 33 built-in mobile device management reports, and it's all SQL-based, so you can create your extra reports if that should be required. All right, small drink. So what do you need to manage the different OS platforms? Remember, if I showed you the Windows Intune subscription, you have different tabs per OS platform. Why do I want to spend some time on this? Because, I lost my mic. You still hear me? Yeah, okay. Why do I want to spend some time on this? Because honestly, this was actually, for me personally, the biggest hurdle I had to take. I have to say it was 2 years ago, so everything was not well documented. Today, luckily it is. But for once and for all, let's have a look what you need per platform. So let's start with Windows Phone. For Windows Phone, you need a code signing certificate from Symantec. What is that? You need to sign your apps to make sure that these apps are trusted on your devices. That will cost you $299 a year. Before you can request that, you need to have a publisher ID, which will cost you $99. This is just a one-off. Now you can say, okay, I just want to do Windows Phone management and I'm actually not interested to deploy already applications, so I don't need that code signing certificate. That's not true, because the self-service portal is a mandatory app for your Windows Phone, so you need to sign that. So you need always code signing certificate if you start to do Windows Phone deployment. What is also typically about certificates, they used to expire after 1 year. So be aware that you renew it. Put in your agenda, use enterprise tooling like Ops Manager or whatever to monitor it, but just be aware of it. What do you need to do in the environment? Once you received your renewed certificate, you just import it into Config Manager, and as from then, you start to sign your new apps with that certificate. You don't need to reassign your old apps, they just continue to work, okay? Now, if you talk about signing, what do you need for that? So the Windows Phone SDK, there you have the choice, or you use a built-in tool, or for the PowerShell geeks, you can go the PowerShell way. For that, you need to export your code signing certificate. You browse to the XCP file. This is typically the extension for Windows Phone. And as you have exported, it's also with a password. So this is actually the quite simple command line. For iOS, I have shown you already. So there, you need the Apple notification certificate, so an APN certificate, which you can request out of the console. So maybe that's interesting to show very quickly. So if you go to administration, here you can create your certificate request. Once you have that done, you just upload it into Config Manager. And for iOS, you have to go to the store first. You install the Intune portal. And as from then, you can enroll your device. Because I didn't want to switch with devices and cables, I will only do my demo on Windows Phone. I took some important screenshots, let's say. So this is actually the experience on a Windows Phone. On an iOS, sorry. So you install the self-service portal application out of the Apple store. You can see here that my device is not enrolled. I have an information mark here. So if I want to decide to enroll it, I add the device. You get some typically messages that Apple is foreseeing. At a certain period of time, I have to enroll into Windows Intune. You can see here that my phone number is getting dialed. This is actually multi-factor authentication, which is in Azure. If you want to see how that works, how you do need to configure that, just come back tomorrow. But if you're wondering what that phone number is doing there, so he's waiting now my second authentication method. Once you have done that, your device is added. Also notice that you have immediately some branding there. So the user recognizes some familiar stuff, let's say. Management profile gets installed, and it's from that moment your device is enrolled. Okay, for the matter of completeness, but who is using RRT devices? Not much, so I'll go very quickly. You don't need specifically a code signing certificate. You can also sign your apps for RT RT with a certificate coming from your CA. You then upload that certificate, and RT and Windows 8 non-device, Windows 8 non-domain joint machines also work with sideloading keys. So actually, sideloading keys, you need to jailbreak your device to make sure that you can install line of business apps. Also, these sideloading keys you can import into Config Manager, and Config Manager will make sure that these will be installed on your devices. So if you go to Software Library, here you can see that where the spot where you can actually import your Windows sideloading keys. Experience on RT, well, there it's built in. So you're there, same as with Windows Phone, you don't have to go to the store. So you just go to Control Panel Workplace, and there you can decide to turn on device management. Not Workplace Join, that's something else. Workplace Join we will focus on tomorrow. So for Windows Intune, you also only need the turn on device management part. Same experience there. And then you can see what actually the self-service portal looks like. So you have your branding. You can see the applications that are available for you. And you can also see which devices are actually linked to your user account. Android, no big deal to configure. You just need to check the checkbox in Config Manager. Yes, I want to support Android. Again, same story. You go to the portal, you subscribe, you see your applications, you see your devices. So you see across the different platforms, you quite have a seamless experience. Okay, let's talk about mobile device settings. Actually, we had to bring, as consultant, a very odd message to customers that, dear customer, you should use a Config a Microsoft MDM solution, but actually we can do much more on iOS and on Android instead of on our own Windows Phone. So luckily that changed. So now that table is completely checked, let's say, and that's thanks to the Windows Feature Pack, or also known Windows 8.1. So if you buy now a new Windows Phone, it's already there. If you're using an existing phone, your update should arrive. And as from then, you can do all the enterprise fancy stuff, let's say. And I really strongly believe in this ecosystem, because no matter if you have a low-end device or a high-end device, they all receive that update. So even if you have a cheap or an expensive, all your devices are enterprise ready. If you look into competitors, iOS is always expensive. And if you want to do mobile device management on a certain security level for Android, you need the Knox. And Knox is today only available on their high-end devices. So I honestly see the future bright here for Windows Phone, taking into account also the BlackBerry story there. Okay, OMADM. So I talked about very shortly already what it is. So you can see it here, what actually Wikipedia is stating. But anyway, it's a kind of advanced registry or whatever you want to call it, to make sure that you can do some specific stuff that you cannot really find directly into the interface of Config Manager. So you can do blacklist of applications. If you want to avoid that your users are unenrolling their corporate device, you can also leverage OMADM for that. You can use assigned access with OMADM. Assigned access, what is that? So it's kiosk mode. So for instance, if you have a Windows Phone and you only want that your user is calling and using a certain app, that is assigned access. So tip is for task workers. So if you want to do that kind of stuff, you have to look into OMADM. Okay, let me show you that. So we have to go back to settings management. And let me take deny Flappy World. So that's an application that I don't want that it's used within my environment. So how does that look like? As I mentioned, it's actually a piece of XML. So if I copy paste that for you in a notepad, that will be more readable. Also that we talked about the product team to make sure that the interface is a little bit better. But actually this is what it's doing. So you're saying that you're denying a certain application with a certain ID. And how do you get that ID? Well, if you go to the Windows Phone Store, you hit an application. In the URL, you can see that ID. So this is typically how you build it up. Now, how the hell do you know how this XML will look like? Well, for that, you have, luckily, a nice PDF file that you can download. So if you take deny list, for instance, there you can see that piece of XML. You can also see that you can just blacklist or whitelist on publisher name. For the sake of demo, I took the GUID. Okay. So what are you doing then? So you save the CI, you put it in the baseline, and the baseline you target to users or devices, that choice you have there. Okay, so let me show you now the experience on a phone. You should ask me to share my screen, yes. I need to put on my data so I can receive a message for my multi-factor authentication. All right. So first of all, let's go to settings. Under workplace, you can see that my device is enrolled into a certain environment. If I click on it, you have here the recycle bin to actually delete my profile. If I try to do that, that is not working. So here is OMADM kicking in. So I'm actually refusing that my user is enrolling his device. Furthermore, you can also see a sync button to trigger a policy. We talk about trigger policies later on, but this is where you can find it for Windows Phone. Okay, back to Flappy World. I want to start it. App is disabled, so I cannot use it. Imagine that I had not installed it and I want to go to the store. Then he will tell me that I'm not allowed to install it. And as you can see, it's already Windows 8.1, so you can also do the new stuff. Eh? So NFC tagging is typically something new that is coming with Windows 8.1. I have also these policies now available to disable that. All right. Let me show you the company portal very quickly. Now we are here. Just give it a second. 3G, so H plus. 3G. Come on.
We also have Wi-Fi there.
Yeah, I know, but I want to receive my SMS from the cloud. You know, so I need... I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but actually I'll talk about that tomorrow. Just let me look if I have internet. Okay. Let me try once again, and otherwise we skip this and we talk about that tomorrow. No. That's a pity. You never know when it's coming back. I will monitor it. Then I can demonstrate you that later on. Okay, anyway. Resource access policies. So we talked about deploying VPN profiles, Wi-Fi profiles, email profiles. Typically, these are linked to certificates. So you need a mechanism to deploy user and machine certificates to mobile devices. Here you can win a headset again. What is actually the standard or basic protocol that also competitors are using to deploy user and device certificates to mobile devices? No. Anyone else? No. SCAP, okay? So the simple certificate enrollment protocol, okay? And actually what is important within SCAP is the word simple. If you put simple and security in one phrase, it's probably not good news. And that's actually what's happening with SCAP. So if you talk about with security officers about SCAP, you might have a good chance that they are getting a little bit nervous in their chair. Eh? You can also see, for instance, that independent security websites are just talking about SCAP, that it's actually not secure. Why? It's actually a shared token that will request directly to your CA a user or a machine certificate without extra check, okay? But the protocol is there for user and device and certificates, so Microsoft will use it, but they will do the extra step, and that's Andes. So Ronnie, what you were telling there, that's actually what Andes is doing. So the network device enrollment service, Microsoft will do that extra check, okay? So actually 4 and 5 is what Microsoft will do extra to secure SCAP. So you can see here a new Windows Config Manager 2012 R2 role, which is actually the certificate registration role, and he will communicate with NDES. So NDES will receive the certificate request, and he will check with Config Manager, hey, do you know the user, do you know the device, can he has a certificate, okay? Now, NDES security as its price is quite complex to implement. We can actually talk 1 hour about NDES. The good news is that it's well described step by step. So it's certainly not doable, not undoable. The documentation is there. That's already good news. But it might happen that you have some tricky discussions with your architects, because you see that NDES needs to be on your DMZ to make sure that your devices, which are in the cloud, can access the NDES. And there I have seen already two tricky discussion points with customers. Windows Server 2012 R2. NDES is a feature that is shipped with Windows Server 2012 R2. I know customers where that OS is not already approved to put that on the DMZ. Okay? And the second one, NDES needs to be domain joint. I know even more customers that are telling me, are you crazy putting a domain joint on my domain joint machine on my DMZ? You might have some discussions there. Of course, there are solutions. You can move your NDES away from DMZ and put it on-prem and use the web application proxy for that. So the web application proxy is actually the new reverse proxy of Microsoft, which you can use to make sure that you can publish your intranet resources on the internet. If you do that, you solved already one question. It's not domain joints. So actually, I think the most critical hurdle you took here, you still might encounter customers that have issues with Windows Server 2012 or 200 DMZ. If you meet these ones, the very few ones, then yeah, you have to go to more complex DMZ technologies like separate forest and trusts and separate networks. Actually, you don't want to go that way, but just be aware. So NDES is there for security. You need it for user device, for user and device certificates. It's quite complex to implement, but it's certainly doable, and expect some discussions with your DMZ people. Okay, the Intune service under the hood. Before we go into the troubleshooting part, let me first explain you how actually the Intune service is working, so it's a little bit easier to talk about troubleshooting. Now, if you talk about Config Manager, all the magic happens actually in MDM tables, in the SQL database. And you have four critical components: the uploader, the downloader, a content sync, and the user sync, okay? So if you save something or you configure something in the console, everything is saved in these MDM tables regarding mobile device management, of course. Now, how does it go to the cloud? Well, each 5 minutes, the uploader checks with the connector service to see if there are changes in the MDM table. Then he will store these binaries in a CacheDB, and another service will pick these up. So he will match the binaries to specific services. For instance, a policy, a wipe, an application installation. That's actually what the data process service is doing. Now, how does a mobile device pick this up? Which is a device management point. So typically, how Config Manager works, so clients do not talk directly to the database, they talk via a management point. Actually, mobile devices work the same way. The good news is you don't have to configure anything. It's just there for you as soon you have started your Intune tenant. And actually, it's that management point that will talk with the data process service. So via that way, applications are coming in, and the device can also send status messages back. Okay, how are coming these hardware inventory, status messages, registration status, how are these coming back to on-prem? Well, that's the downloader. So actually, it's a pull mechanism. So each 5 minutes, the downloader will check, hey, is there new stuff for me? And then he will put that in the MDM tables. If the values are in the M tables, you have monitoring, you have reporting, and so on. So this is actually high level how that works. Okay. Now, one of the most important questions of the $1 million question, let's say, is the following: what data is stored in the cloud and where? Actually, each customer is asking me that. So this is actually what you need to answer. So customer data from Config Manager stored in Windows Intune, so actually the uploader, you see that not much sensitive information is there. So device name, OS type, UPN, stuff like that. The most confidential part is in the downloader, of course, because there you have software inventory, You have information about your site loading keys, for instance. You might have compliancy status. So actually, what is happening with that data? Well, if the downloader did a first successful download, so the values are stored in the MDM tables on-premise, then Intune will remove that from the cloud, okay? The question where, that's quite easy. Depending if you create your Intune tenant, you have to decide the location. We are here in Europe, so your data is in Dublin, okay? So the data center of Microsoft, and it's twinned with Amsterdam in case of disasters. That's just a given. All right, troubleshooting. 20 minutes to go. I talked about the uploader and the downloader, so each component has its own log files. So there you can see if you experience problems with connecting to the Intune service, or that you can, or that you're not expecting inventory data back, and you're expecting some, or you suspect some issues there. You can always check these log files. I have mentioned some errors that I have seen. Later on, if you review the presentation, you can have a closer look. Cloud User Sync. This is very, very critical, of course, because this is all about licensing. I mentioned about the Intune user collection. All the users that you want to allow that they can enroll devices, these users needs to be verified in the cloud. Now, how does that happen? So you need a tool like DirSync, or in the future, Azure AD Sync, that will sync your users into the cloud. At that moment, each user that you put in the collection, the Cloud User Sync will actually compare the UPNs. If the UPNs are not the same, you will have a kind of an error, fail to add the user because the user was not found. So UPNs need to match, okay? This is just for licensing. More on that later on, but keep that in mind. And then Config Manager works typically with the distribution manager if you want to distribute content. So actually this works very similar than with applications on-prem. So you as admin, you create a package, you save it. SQL monitor will pick that up. He will tell the distribution manager, hey, there is a package for you. And actually, distribution manager will prepare it, put it on the share, and will then trigger the outgoing content manager components to actually copy it to the Azure storage, so to the manage.microsoft.com distribution point. Other log files. If you have problems with creating your subscription, check the log files of the SSCM console. If you suspect issues with your connector, you have also some log files for that. Certificates, so if you're working with NDES or you need also self-sign certificate for your connector, check the certmanager.log file. And of course, if you have problems with your extensions, but these log files we have covered already. Okay, so issues to enroll a device. Mostly this is because your users are not correctly licensed, so meaning UPNs are not matching. Okay, so normally you should see this. If you add in this, for this demo here, you add 4 users in the user collection, 5 minutes later, you should see in the cloud user link log file that 4 users are added to the cloud. So then it's good. So that's from that moment, your users are licensed. Now, if you want to go a little bit more in depth, what you need to check then is the user disk table. It's actually a table within the Config Manager database, and you're most interested in the cloud user ID column. Yeah? So if you see the value null, then the user is just not licensed for Intune. If it's 0000, then it means that the user was licensed before. If you see a cloud user ID like this here, then your user is licensed correctly, which means there was a match between the UPNs. As from that moment, the user can enroll devices, okay? Also, Intune will work and will continue to work with that cloud user ID. So it will not use actually anymore the UPNs. So he will only use the UPNs for licensing. It's in SQL, so you have, of course, SQL statements around, which you can also help you to quickly check the status. Now, I hate, honestly, licensing, and I'm not smart enough to understand Microsoft licensing, but just maybe one slide to talk about Intune. A lot of questions that I have, do I need to check this checkbox in the Windows Intune portal? For once and for all, if you're doing it at a hybrid, so if you do it with the integration with Config Manager, you don't need to check this checkbox. Config Manager is not taking into account that checkbox. Now, how can you see What are your licensing statuses? Of course, you have also a purchase step in your Intune portal, or for the diehards again, you can do it via PowerShell. So you connect to the MSL service, and then you can see here, for instance, MSL account SKU. And in this demo, I have bought one Intune license, okay? How does the license work? A user can have 5 devices, okay? How does Config Manager know how many users are linked to a device? Do I really have to go home with all my headset again? User device affinity, okay? So via that way, Config Manager knows, okay, the primary user is linked to 5 devices here. So actually, theoretically, he's now coming over his rights for licensing. Honestly, I have never tested if it really stops. I believe actually it stops enrolling after 10 devices. But licensing-wise, you have to stick to one user can have 5 devices, okay? Troubleshooting at the client side. That's a little bit more tricky. So you have seen already with Config Manager on the server side, you have quite some log files. We as Config Manager admins, we are used to have a bunch of log files on Windows machines. So we are expecting also in case of issues that you have something on the devices itself. Well, actually, client troubleshooting is this kind of experience. Yeah? The dog has a lot of fun, right? Yeah? So what do I mean with that? Skydive is fun, and 99% of the time, your parachute goes open. Yeah? If it not goes open, you might have a problem. Same there with client management, with MDM. So I'm really convinced that it's a very decent solution that Microsoft has today, but it might occur that you have some issues, that's typically technology, and then you're a little bit on your own on the device itself. Windows Phone, for instance, doesn't have log files. If you go to IIS, and I kid you not, you open the self-service portal and you shake with the device, you can send a diagnostic file to your email address. If you go to Android, you can also send the diagnostic files out of the self-service portal to your email address. But in my humble opinion, but it can be me again, the log files never helped me. There's actually a lot of info that is not very useful. The most thing that helped me is that the devices are actually sending back a status messages which could help me. For instance, an application refused to install because of an issue of the certificates, a policy was not there because there was a conflict with another policy, so stuff like that. So actually, the monitoring tab within Config Manager helped me the most regarding client troubleshooting, okay? Product team is aware of that. Again, also not clear if it's completely in control of Microsoft, but they will at least work on it. Some notes from the field. If a device is receiving a policy from more than one authority, for instance, you manage something with Intune and you manage something with ActiveSync, the most secure one will win. Hardware inventory is not supported today. Typically, as Config Manager admins, we are used to extend the hardware inventory to get a little bit more out of our devices. And actually, this is a question I often get from customers, so that's why I added. So typically, if you check the phone number today in the software inventory or in the hardware inventory, you only see the last 4 digits. So now as Config Manager, you should have the reflection, okay, maybe we can extend the hardware inventory. Today, that's not supported yet, okay? Corporate versus personal devices. This is quite important to understand. So if a user enrolls his device himself, so not bulk enrollment, so still the situation of today, the device comes within Config Manager as a personal device, okay? You as admin, you can change ownership, of course, and change it to a corporate device. Why is it important? Because actually, inventory results are actually different. If you have a personal device, you will only see the software titles that are going through the Intune. If you see a corporate device, then you as a company, you should have the rights to see everything. Then you will see actually all the applications that are installed on the devices. Okay, so you see there is already a difference in between. Trigger policy check. I showed you with Windows Phone, you have a button. With Android and with iPhone, you don't have it. So actually there you have to wait to the typically 8 or sometimes 24 hours that the device will check itself. Hey, is there a new policy for me? Okay. DirSync. Actually, Microsoft yesterday announced the successor of DirSync, which is Azure Active Directory Sync. But why it's still relevant, DirSync, because user ID sync does not support today password hash. So you know the experience if you don't have ADFS, but you want to give the users the opportunity to log in with their Active Directory password, you can do a password hash sync. So that's why this sync is still relevant there. If you install it for the first time, the last window is synchronized now. You have a checkbox there. Uncheck that. Default, it's checked. If you don't do that, he will sync completely your directory into the cloud. Sometimes you don't want to do that, so uncheck it and create an LDAP query for that. Typically, a service account is used, and out of the box, after 60 days, it's expiring. So if you see after, let's say 2 months, that dir sync has stopped, so mostly that's the reason. So you should do then some PowerShell magic again to make sure that password does not expire. Today, enterprise admin credentials are required to install dir sync. I have some customers that say, okay, here you have them. Other ones say, are you crazy? So with Azure AD Sync, these rights are more relaxed. So the product teams worked on that. Dir sync requires reboot, so probably you don't want to install it on a domain controller or so. Attribute filtering, a very important one. With dir sync, that is not supported. What was actually the biggest problem with dir sync? Dir sync is the same tool that is used for Office 365. Office 365 is using a lot of attributes. So actually, a lot of attributes are synced to the cloud, which actually are not used by Intune. And then you had discussions, why is that attribute in the cloud, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Then you would do some exclusions, but today that was not there. So what you can do now with Azure AD Sync, you just can select for which cloud service you want to sync. So you can select to Office 365, RMS, Windows Intune, and so on. So if you select for Windows Intune, then only, I think it's about 10 attributes are synced into the cloud, and not dozens of attributes that actually Intune is not using. Multi-force support was not really an issue for Intune, but dir sync could not handle that. The next Azure AD Sync can handle multi-force, so also that is solved in the near future. If you deploy an SMTP email profile, yeah, that's a very specific one, but I lost quite some time with that one. Typically, in a proof of concept, you just want to show stuff to customers. Actually, if you deploy an SMTP email profile, it's refusing to deploy that profile if your AD attribute, email attribute, is not filled in. You don't see really an exact error, so before you figure that out, yeah, you're again gone away for 4 or 5 hours or something like that. So it's important to realize that. Most probably in production, you will not face this, but I had this in a proof of concept environment, so keep that in your mind. An interesting report is recently wiped mobile device report. First question you can ask yourself, what is recently? So actually the data stays 90 days in the database. And what exactly is that report is offering? So each device that you as an administrator have wiped. You don't have the data, and that's certainly room for improvement if a user did a wipe initiation itself. So if today in the field a user is wiping his device, you don't know it. So that's also something that hopefully is coming. Extensions and cumulative updates. Is there a difference in between? Yes, of course. So extensions is just new features that you're getting in. Cumulative updates are only fixes. So let's be clear. Today, there is not really a relationship between the two, but it might happen in the future, for instance, that you install an extension and that you're depending on the latest cumulative update. That can happen, but as far as I know, there is not really a dependency on that today. Assigned access, so the kiosk mode, so if you say, okay, you can only use that phone with that specific app, at a certain day you decide, okay, let's make it more relaxed, you cannot really do it. So once you do assigned access on Windows Phone, you have to take a factory reset to make sure that it comes out of state. That was also interesting to discover. Remote lock and pin resets. Windows Phone, unfortunately, no support yet. And actually, the behavior on Android and iOS is a little bit different. So if you reset a pin from distance, with Android, you can reset it and send a temporary pin to the user. With iOS, you can only reset it. So you cannot send a temporary pin to the user. So. Okay, also a question I often get is, okay, I want to treat my Windows 8 device as a mobile device, so I want to manage it with Intune, but okay, let's do it, okay. But what about BitLocker? What about software updates? What about installations other than APPX files? Yeah, at that time, that will not work, of course. because you treat really your Windows 8, typically for tablets, as a mobile device. If you still want that full-flavored fat client, you have to enroll it in Config Manager. Do you need R2? Yes, and always take the latest one. Of course, MDM was introduced, at least the connector with Config Manager SP1. Just make sure that you're on R2, and certainly follow also the latest cumulative updates. And so there is a CU3 coming now, the next days. But for instance, the CU2 was very important regarding policies. So within 50 minutes now, you're guaranteed that your policy is arriving. So within 50 minutes, you wipe your device, no matter on which platform it is. Okay? Before, that was quite challenging. So install always the latest of the latest. Okay, if you have Office 365 today, make sure that you sign in with your Office 365 tenants. Don't sign up, otherwise you create two tenants, and that will not work in the cloud. And you cannot verify your domain in two different tenants. So if you're an Office 365 user today, you want to try Intune, just use your Office 365 tenant credentials to subscribe into the service. If you choose at a certain moment, I will do my mobile device management with Intune standalone or with Config Manager, once you have made that decision, there is no way back. So realize that. Be careful with ADFS and Workplace Join. Yeah, that is very specific. What is that actually? Windows Phone might have issues to enroll into your environment if Workplace Join is enabled on ADFS servers. That's a known issue, and Windows Phone will come with a new update to solve that. This is just for info, it's not a tremendous issue, but if you use ADFS and you have Workplace Join enabled, you might bump into that situation. And then the last one is actually a very nasty one, is the portal, or actually the portal for IIS. And again, this is not really the fault of Microsoft. So what you will see is, if you target an application to iPhone, for instance, and you install the self-service portal, you will see that no applications are listed. If you browse via Safari, you will see the application. Competitors have the same issue, MobileRN, AirWatch, whatever. This is a limitation of IIS. Probably they are just against that you are creating your own store or whatever. So this is actually the not so nice experience that you have. That's just a given. Okay, security. Probably number one question that I get. Actually, what I mostly do is contact your local people at Microsoft. They have a lot of legal documents there. But if you just want to give them already a short guidance, go to the Windows Intune Trust page or go to the privacy statement URL. There they will find already a lot of legal stuff, a lot of privacy, hacker information. Yes, it's military encrypted, and yes, you are secure. So it's actually to make sure that you can take that hurdle. For instance, I had now a customer which has issues that any piece of identity is going to the cloud. And one important attribute is the display name. So we are in discussion now, and that's typically a customer that goes through the legal stuff to make sure that we can convince him. Okay, and to conclude, maybe with Gartner. So no illusion of security should lead you to make uncalculated risk. But don't let an illusion of insecurity to make your business unnecessarily slow either. In other words, mobility is there. You cannot really ignore it. Technology is there, adopt it, but you will only have a certain percentage of risk. I really believe with Config Manager and Intune, you have a very good solution for that to, let's say, decrease that risk to a maximum of a percentage. Okay? So with this, I want to thank you. This is actually the end of the session. If you have questions, I'm here around, also tomorrow. I hope you liked it, and I hope also to see you back tomorrow for Unified Device Management. Thank you.